Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. This morning, as always, we have a fun and relevant guest. Colby Ferguson is joining us from Farm Bureau Government Relations to talk about the 2022 legislative sessions and how our urban, suburban, and rural all come together. Good morning, Colby.
Good morning.
So what is it that you do there at the Farm Bureau and Government Relations?
Sure. Director of Government Relations is a kind of a fancy definition or fancy term for, I do the lobbying work for the Maryland farmers around the state through Maryland Farm Bureau. I focus on the state side, so I'm in Annapolis during the legislative session, and then work with the different agencies throughout the year on regulations, and mainly just focus on protecting our Maryland farmers to make sure that they can continue to farm and be productive and profitable in the state of Maryland and produce the food, fiber, and fuel that we all need to keep going every day. I think we all try to eat at least three times a day, and 100% of that comes from the farmers. So if we don't have farmers, we don't have food.
I know I sure like my fuel, my fiber, and my fuel. I get there, I get my clothes on, and I get my meals in. I sure appreciate that. So what is a lobbyist? I know we're going to jump a little bit here, but I wanted to put this out there first. Sometimes that word is negative. Oh, the lobbyists are coming. Other times when you need something, it's a positive term. Oh, the lobbyist is coming. What is your role there? You do help the farmers, but is it educational? Is it negotiation? What's the nuts and bolts of it?
Sure. So, you know, I think that term lobbyist a lot of times gets a negative connotation, but honestly, you know, I'm not a contract lobbyist. I'm not work for hire type deal where I just shop around and look for people that need stuff passed or bills put in or introduced. But I'm truly an advocate and a voice for the Maryland farmers. And that's my number one and my only job. And so, unlike maybe other lobbyists that basically you hire to pass a bill or to stop negative legislation, my job is not just as a lobbyist, but as the director of government relations, is to really represent the farmers who, quite frankly, don't have the time to be driving to Annapolis when they're trying to plant corn or soybeans. They don't have time to work with the Department of Natural Resources or the Department of Health or even the Department of Ag when they're trying to harvest crops, to have farmers markets, to, you know, to work directly with the consumer. That's where I come in and kind of do their, you know, do the research, be the expert to represent them so they don't have to come out, you know, spend time out of their busy day to do the same thing. So that's kind of what I champion my position to do, is to be the voice and be their representation so they can stay in the field and do what they do best.
That makes sense. So one part educator, one part teacher.
Yep. And one part cheerleader.
Probably two-thirds parts cheerleader, but absolutely. And yep. The Farm Bureau has a mission to protect and grow Maryland agriculture and preserve rural life. How did that attract you into this? And can you help us understand the Farm Bureau organization with that mission at the national, state, and county levels?
Sure. So it fits right into my, you know, my upbringing and my history. And I didn't start in this position. I always say that I've had many careers that working up to this position that have helped me be more prepared to do a very challenging job that's very, very rewarding at the same time. And so I'm originally from Oklahoma, was born and raised in South Central Oklahoma and graduated from Oklahoma State University and actually got my experience on the East Coast by getting my master's degree from North Carolina State University. And in that time frame, I met my wife, who was from Maryland. And so when it was time to get married, we made the decision to move to Maryland. And so a little over 25 years ago, I moved to Maryland and have been here, started a family and have a farm in Frederick County, and a small farm there that is more of a hobby type deal. I always tell everybody that there's two types of farmers. There's ones that are farming for money, and there's ones that are farming with money.
Yes.
I fall into that farming with money. I have a real job. I have a job that pays bills, and the farm is my sanity, keeps me sane. When I've had a tough, exhausting day in Annapolis, I can come home and I raise pigs, so my pigs don't talk back. They need me, and they enjoy my company. So,
and they're usually happy when you walk in with the feed. Yes.
Yeah, they serve a very good purpose, other than to produce the pork and sell to people to put on their tables. They are my release from the real world many times.
I have to agree with you on that one. For years, my husband and I, we've had one of those hobby farms. We farm with money, I guess. And we were working to support the farm, and he went to work in the Washington area in a law firm biotech area. And his administrative assistant says to him, "We heard you bought the farm. Is everything okay?" And we were very excited because we had actually saved enough to buy a farm. And then she says, "Oh my, it's true. You have hogs in your bushes." And we said, "No, we don't have any hogs." And then it clicked. We were out bush hogging the Briars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Different world. It's that little R&R.
Head house. There's a lot of, and you know, so we were talking about how I got to this position. Well, a job I had prior to coming into being the director of government relations was I worked for Frederick County government as the economic development specialist for agriculture. And so I put 9 years in doing that. And my job was kind of an agriculture ombudsman. And I was to be the middleman to take the agriculture language and the government language and decipher the two. And so farmers didn't understand what the county government wanted them to do, and the county government didn't understand what the farmers were wanting to do. And so I did that for 9 years, and I did that a lot, where you would have, you know, the planning and zoning would sit there and say, "Well, they're putting in a head house, and so they're going to be living there." I'm like, "No, that is talking about where the produce is after they go out and they pull the produce. That's where they package it and get it ready to go out to the stores." They're like, "Oh, you mean it's not a living quarters?" They're like, "No, it's just the lingo."
And so it's a very different lingo. Yes,
you're exactly right. We use terms that mean different things depending on what setting you're in.
So making that transition from Oklahoma to Maryland, did you grow up in Oklahoma on a farm or a ranch?
Yes, I was actually born at my dad was the swine. I've grown up in swine my whole life, and so my dad was the swine herdsman at Oklahoma State University. And after about being there for about 8 years, we moved back to our home farm where I was on my grandparents' ranch in south central Oklahoma. And so from about the age of 9 till I graduated high school, I grew up there. And so raising cattle and hogs and working at the stockyards and understanding that whole component of it, really, actually, it was what paid for my college was raising cattle and putting, you know, say, squirreling back some money to then use when I went to college.
It's a different lifestyle than a lot of our suburban and urban folks really know, and they go and they see it as agritourism or agribusiness.
Yeah.
How do we put that Farm Bureau, the legislative session, and all of the information together if we are an urban person or a suburban person, hearing us talk this morning and thinking about our lobbying, our education, our teaching, what is it that someone's sitting there going, I like my suburban house and I like my urban area. Why is this important to me? What do you want them to kind of open their minds to this morning?
I think it's a great, great assessment and a great question because, you know, we all fall victim and guilty to a very busy lifestyle. You know, it's, you know, we're going here, we're going there, whether it's, you know, getting kids to school or making, you know, both parents at work, or, you know, you have all the different components that come into really, you know, you come home and it's almost just a place to sleep and get a shower and start over again the next day. And so we get into our little bubble, or our window, or our routine. And, you know, if you're in an urban or suburban type, you know, particularly if you're in a suburban, you're probably seeing that you're probably putting a lot of windshield time in, commutes to and from work. And so you really don't, you're not exposed to the rural way of life or to those components. And so because you're not exposed to them, you probably don't really understand what the problems or the concerns are within that area, because it's not your regular day. And quite frankly, the mainstream media and you know, it's not a big attention getters. You know, it's not some of the, you know, typically it doesn't have a big negative effect, and so it doesn't catch the mainstream news cycle. And so, you know, the things that I want everybody to understand is that when you go to the grocery store, it doesn't just magically show up there. And to see, you know, we've gotten, I think the COVID pandemic probably opened a lot of people's eyes that it's not always, food is not always going to be there. And every type of food that you want is not just going to magically be there, in that if the chain of, you know, the chain where it gets from the farm to the store is broken, whether it be due to lack of transportation or what, you know, people that are out sick with COVID and so we can't get the shelf stock. I think I hope that it's given everybody a more appreciation for their food and how their food is produced and where their food is produced, because
absolutely agree. When we come back, let's pick that up and talk about where we're going with all of this.
Awesome.